You can take your Bibles tonight and you can go to Luke chapter 1, verse 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. So tonight we're continuing our series on the acceptable year of the Lord. We've previously touched on why the world needed a Savior and what Jesus Christ came to accomplish. We also looked at how time is represented biblically as well as considered the timeline of Jesus Christ's ministry. So tonight, we're going to begin our journey into the acceptable year of the Lord, starting with a prelude into the ministry of John the Baptist. John the Baptist. So Luke chapter 1, verse 1 says, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." So, that's a lot of information. But verse 3 says, "It seemed good unto me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first." That "from the very, very first" is the word anothen, which you see on a lot of hats today, which means from above or divinely. Okay? So the phrase "from the very first" is actually "from above" or divinely. So it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things divinely. Right? Because the word of God was authored by God and given to men to write down. So this information, this perfect information, wasn't because Luke was so perfect, but because God gave him that information. Right? Came from above. "To write unto thee in order." In order is the word kathexes, which basically means in sequence, consecutively, or successively. It literally means in order. So the stuff that Luke wrote down was given to God perfectly in sequential order. So the record in Luke is chronologically accurate. Okay? We saw last time the Gospel of John laid out the order of the feasts. We see that God declares the events in Luke to be in chronological order. So as we compare records during this exercise through the acceptable year of the Lord, we can look at Luke and we can look at John as touchstones because they're in order. They're in chronological order. So for the purposes of time and checking things out, those two books help us with the order of things. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. Luke chapter 3, verse 1. We read these verses last time. It says, "Now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came unto all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the word of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The preparation was for the way of Jesus, the coming Messiah. Verses 4 and 5 are from Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4. So let's put our finger here and go there. Isaiah 40, verse 3. So when it mentions in verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, that's Isaiah. Isaiah 40, verse 3 and 4. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So that's where that, go back to Luke 3, 4, and 5, that's where that's quoted from. And in here it's referring to the preparation for was the way of Jesus, the coming Messiah. And when they would have to make roads through certain areas, they would literally level out hills, dig them out, and fill in valleys that came after them to make those ways straight. So that's what it means when it says, every valley shall be filled. They filled up the valley to come up to sort of a ground level, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. They would scrape it off and make it low so that they could build roads. And so it's figuratively here, but it's making a way, a path for Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. He was preparing for Jesus Christ's arrival. Go to Luke chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. It said that John was the son of Zacharias. The son of Zacharias. Luke 1, 16 and 17. And this is what the angel spoke to Zacharias about his son John. When he told Zacharias who John would be. 16 says, and many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord, shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and of power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So from the very beginning, the angel tells Zacharias that this is what John was to do. This is what his son was to do, was to prepare the hearts of Israel, to get people to turn their faces back to God and make a ready a people prepared for the Lord. Verse 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, so this is after his tongue is loosed, and he says, no, his name is John, as he writes it down. His tongue is loosed, and this is what he prophesies. Verse 68, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Okay, and so this is the prophecy about the coming Messiah. This is about Jesus Christ. And then, verse 76, he prophesies about his son John. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, that day spring being a sunrise. It was a new day for Israel. Verse 79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into where? the way of peace. So those verses are about what his son would do, about John. So the preceding verses are about what the Messiah would accomplish, what he was coming. But those four verses are about what John would do, to give light to them that sit in darkness. You know, Israel was in that period of darkness. They had mostly turned away from God. There hadn't been a prophet in hundreds of years. And so he was to prepare everybody for Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. So John had a very important role to play. And God, in his foreknowledge, set all of this up. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." The wilderness of Judea in verse 1. Verse 3 of Luke, when we were looking at Luke, said that all the country about Jordan. And this verse here says the wilderness of Judea. So that puts his ministry, his area, near the southern end of the river of Jordan. The southern end of that river of Jordan, if you look on a map, is on the outskirts of Judea. Verse 2 says, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is what he came to do, to tell people to repent, to turn their eyes back to God. Verse 3. "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair, and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat, his sustenance, was locusts and wild honey." Delicious. Yum. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. So people from all over that region and that area came to see him and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So John did not preach in a palace or even in the temple. He wasn't in Jerusalem in the temple. He was out there in the wilderness, hanging out by the river, camping, and eating locusts and honey. And he was clothed in camel's hair. You know, that was his place. But he was a mighty prophet for God. And people from all over came to see him and to be baptized. Go to Luke 7, verse 24 and 25. So that's the record in Matthew, the record in Luke, 7:24 and 25. A record in Luke talks about John. This is what Jesus Christ had to say about him later on. "And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John," talking about John. "And he asked them, What went you out into the wilderness for to see? What did you expect to see out there in the wilderness by the river? A reed shaken with the wind?" Right? Some wimpy dude? Some crazy person? I mean, he's out there eating locusts and wild honey and kind of looks like a, you know, maybe not the most well-dressed dude. Verse 25, "But what went you out for to see? What did you expect to see? A man clothed in soft raiment?" You know, like royalty? A really specially adorned person? "Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in king's courts. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So this was Jesus Christ's opinion of John the Baptist, which just means it was God's opinion. He was a great prophet. Among those that are born of women, there was not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. His job was to prepare people for the coming Messiah. What an honor and what a job, what a responsibility. And this wasn't some guy who was, you know, a crazy person or shaken by the wind. This was a strong and powerful man who stood for God. Who stood for God. Go to Mark chapter 1. Verse 1. Mark 1, 1. So this is the account in the Gospel of Mark. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize in the wilderness, and preached the baptism of repentance for the remissions of sin. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and all were baptized of him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel hair, and a girdle of a skin about his loins, and he did eat locusts and wild honey. So again, similar description here of who John was and how he lived. Go to Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. So he was to prepare people for the coming Messiah. And part of that preparation was to preach the water baptism and the forgiveness of sins. To get people to recognize, you know, that they had sinned against God, that they had turned away, and get them to look toward God again. But it was a preaching of forgiveness. It wasn't a preaching of condemnation. It was to get people to understand that God loved them so much that here comes the Messiah. And to get people to understand that love that God had for them. A love of forgiveness. Matthew 3, verse 7. It says, verse 6 says, And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Okay, so we're talking about John here. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So John didn't only preach to the people, but he admonished the religious leaders. The religious leaders came out to see what was going on, too. I mean, everybody was coming out to be baptized by this guy. So they came out, too. And he admonished them. He reproved them. He said, Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet, acceptable for repentance. Come willing to repent. And think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. Right? Because that's what they were still clinging to, the law, and to Abraham. Here is this coming Messiah that Jesus Christ is preaching. And these religious leaders were like, what's he talking about? They were still clinging to Abraham. He said, Don't think within yourselves, we've got Abraham to cling to. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Mm. So, man, he's basically saying if you're not producing that good fruit, the axe is coming through and it's going to take down the trees that are not producing good fruit. So he's reproving them. He's admonishing them. Luke chapter 3, verse 7. He wasn't a reed shaken with the wind. Right? He wasn't a reed shaken with the wind. That's what it said in Luke. These religious leaders came out to see what was going on, and he told them the deal. He laid it out for them. He wasn't afraid. He was a mighty prophet indeed. Luke 3, verse 7. Here we see some of the things that he taught the people. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid into the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, What shall we do then? He answereth and said unto him, or them, He that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. If you've got an abundance, let you give to that person who doesn't have anything. You got two coats, share one. And he that has meat, let him do likewise. You got plenty of food, share it with the guy who doesn't have anything to eat. Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Remember those publicans, those tax collectors, they're scoundrels. Right? They were known, infamous, for taking more than they should, for cheating people. Verse 13, and he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. You know, don't do that. Don't collect more than you're supposed to. Collect the tax and that's it. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Okay, implying that the soldiers would sometimes use their power unjustly. You know, beat people up for no reason or accuse them falsely. Use their positions of power for gain. So don't do that stuff. Be content with your wages. Don't steal. So he was preaching to the people and getting them to repent for the things that they had done. He was telling them how they should be living their lives. Go to Mark chapter 1, verse 7. So he was helping people to repent. He was reproving the religious leadership. He was teaching the people that came out to him how to live their lives appropriately and not to sin. All in preparation for Jesus Christ's coming. And most importantly, perhaps, he taught them about Jesus Christ and what he was coming to do. Mark 1:7. And preached, saying, There cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with what? With the Holy Ghost. John water baptized the people, but he taught of a greater baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Right? And we remember from the first teaching that ever since Adam and Eve lost spirit life, the gift of Holy Spirit was much anticipated. Right? They lost it. It was not available to have it permanently because of what they had done. So John knew that the Redeemer was coming, and with him, salvation via the return of Holy Spirit. Right? God can place it on people, but it could be taken away or lost. And Jesus was coming so that that third part could be restored whole. Sometime after this, Jesus Christ comes to be water baptized by John. Verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway, coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened, and the Spirit, like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven, saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so Jesus Christ comes also to be baptized of John. And when he is baptized, the Holy Spirit descends and is placed upon Jesus Christ. Go to Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. And this kind of signifies the beginning of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. Luke 3, verse 18. Well, I guess we could pick it up in verse 15. This was a continuation of what he was teaching earlier. He told the soldiers not to beat people up. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And then verse 18 says, and many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. And verse 19 starts a parenthetical reference of things to come, future events, that ends in verse 20. So if you have a pen and you don't mind marking your Bible, you can put a parenthesis around 19 and the end of 20. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, and yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. That hasn't happened yet. This is sort of just a parenthesis saying, like, he was reproving people, he was preaching unto them, and one of the people he reproved was Herod, and Herod put him in prison, which we'll read about later, not tonight. But that's a future event. Verse 21. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Ghost descended in bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And we remember from a previous teaching that he was not yet in his 30th year of life. He was beginning to be about 30 years of age when this started. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, same record. So during our course of study here, we're going to be looking at a lot of these records from the different Gospels that all line up with each other. Each one has a little bit of different tidbits to add to the greater picture. The other two verses said that the voice came down and said that you are my beloved Son. Matthew 3:13 says, Then Jesus comes from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and you, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we know from the other verses that it should be, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," so that it fits with the other verses. Until Jesus was water baptized and fulfilled all righteousness, the greater baptism that John taught and sought was not yet available. Right? Jesus Christ said, "You don't forbid me." You know, we have to do this. We have to do this so that we fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. So this was part of what had to be done for Jesus Christ to fulfill all righteousness and to eventually bring the baptism of Holy Spirit that John taught about. Finally, go to John chapter 1, verse 30. So this marks the very beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry. He comes to be baptized. Holy Spirit is placed upon him. John 1, verse 30. Says, "This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." In God's foreknowledge, God knew that there needed to be a Savior. "And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water." Right? John's purpose was to reveal the Christ to everyone. Verse 32, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost." Right, so God had given him revelation that that's what Jesus Christ came to do. "And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." So Jesus Christ did not have Holy Spirit from birth either. It actually says in the Word of God that John the Baptist was to have Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. So it was John who had Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Jesus Christ did not. He received it upon him this day. And that's what began his ministry. So next week, we're going to get to the events immediately preceding this and the events to follow, which are pretty cool. I won't spoil it.